Bradder's No Nonsense Hits, only on Vitalize Radio.
Today I have a Welsh icon who is best known for his amazing voice and great comedy skills. He's also the resident dame at the New Theatre in Cardiff. It is the one and only Mr. Mike Doyle. Welcome to the show, Mike. How are you?
Thank you, Ian. Very, very kind of you to invite me onto your show. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I'm glad to hear you well. And welcome, because we've been waiting to get you on the show for a very long time, because you are a staple of Cardiff Anto. When did you first get into the industry then?
Well, I come from West Wales, a place called Carmarthen, and I don't come from a showbiz family or anything, although my dad has a great singing voice, and so my mum. And my brother also, he's an amazing entertainer and still is to this day. So it's just Philip and I, really. And then his children, his daughter, Natasha, fantastic entertainer. And my both sons, one of them is a technical guy. He's the technical assistant stage manager for the Panto. His name is Tom. And my other son, Sam, huge talent there. He's just got the lead in We Will Rock You, in the Porthcawl Youth Theatre production of We Will Rock You. So the showbiz side of it has come since I as a grown up, but my early days, there was no showbiz for me. But I always wanted to do it. So how do you do it then, isn't it? How do I say to my dad, I want to be an entertainer? Because he would have looked at me as if I was insane, you know? So I was going to have a bike for Christmas, and a rally chopper bike. And everybody was having these chopper bikes, you know. And then 2 days before Christmas Day, and I was looking forward to this chopper bike, I went to the Catholic Youth Club. And I remember peering through the window, Ian, and I could see a semicircle of people playing guitars. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It changed my life on the spot. And I'm listening to them singing in harmony and playing guitar. And I thought, this is just, I'd only ever seen guitars on the television. I'd never seen one in real life, or I'd never seen anybody, you know, perform in real life.
Yeah.
It'd only ever been on the telly. So it was like a make-believe world, the telly, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and there it is in front of me. So I remember running home, and my father was working nights that night. And the next morning, he came home from working nights, open cast mining, working every hour God sent to provide for us. I told him on Christmas Eve, I no longer want the bike for Christmas, Dad. I want the guitar. Well, you can imagine it didn't go down too well, did it? Because the bike is obviously in the shed and ready to go with a bow on it. Well, Dad, that day, he's gone into the Carmarthen, and on Christmas morning, I wake up and there is the rally chopper bike with a bow on it, and a sharp tape recorder with a little microphone, which I had to put against the television speaker, Ian, to record Top of the Pops, man. And then my father said, have a look behind the couch. He says, I think Santa Claus might have forgotten something. I looked behind the couch, and there was a triangular cardboard box, and within it was a beautiful Antoria classic guitar. And it changed my life. And I remember my brother Philip saying, any chance of me having the bike? Just asking. So, And that was it. I was in love with the guitar. I didn't do great at school. I wasn't interested in anything, subjects. Well, funny enough, the only thing I was interested in school was music, drama, and geography. And my whole life has been music and drama and geography. I've traveled the world doing what I do.
Wow.
Without any exams, I'm ashamed of that, but I don't have one single exam to my name. I don't have any CSCs or GCSEs, A-levels, O-levels, you know, college, university, nada, nothing. I just left school with nothing and the guitar.
Each to their own, you see, because you do really well at your job, and it just proves that exams aren't everything. So even to those GCSE students out there, if you don't do well, you can still make a living by just doing what you love.
If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So it doesn't have to be showbiz, does it? It could be anything. It could be any job whatsoever. But if you love what you do, you truly, truly love, you can't wait to get into work and to do, and you'll never work a day in your life. You're just doing what you love. I just kept with the guitar, and then I found a derelict garage nearby my parents' house in Carmarthen, and I used to go in there and rehearse, practice singing songs with this guitar, thinking nobody could hear me. But of course they could. And then I joined a little band in Carmarthen. We were all still in school, really. That band went on. We all had the same passion, the same love of music. We even started writing some of our own songs. Some will say they were absolute rubbish songs, but I stumbled across them the other day, and they're actually quite good. Yeah, so our first band was called Tattoo, bit of a strange name for a band, but the drummer wanted it to be called Tattoo because he wanted to have tattoos as he got older, because his dad did, I think, and we were called Tattoo. It then became Casual Affair, which is another strange name for young lads. But and it's funny enough, the band Casual Affair still going today.
Oh, wow.
With one of the original members, yeah, which is fantastic. So that's how I started. That's how I got my interest into just entertaining people, having the courage to stand up there and entertain them, to talk to them, to work the room. Because I don't come from a West End background or a drama college background. I never had any of that. I have just made it in life by saying, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. And I was always able to mimic people when I was a kid. So I would mimic the teachers, and I would be able to do impressions of people. And that has really helped going through my life in terms of me getting a chance in the West End and being able to speak in almost any accent, any dialect, whether it be American, Australian, New Zealand, or anywhere in the UK. I can just change my voice as if I live there. And people say, oh, you must have studied that for years. And I says, probably without knowing, because I don't know how I can just switch. I don't know. So yeah, I love my job. Hashtag, I love my job.
I can tell you've got so much enthusiasm for it. It's so lovely. So, who's inspired you throughout your career then?
Well, in the early days, I mean, I was a 70s kid, right? So, Top of the Pops would come on, and I'd love all the pop music of the day. And in my day, it would have been bands like Slade. And isn't it funny? We still hear about Slade today. Why? Because Noddy Holder still has a Christmas song every single year to this day. Mudd, we're a band called Mudd. And every year we hear, it'll be lonely this Christmas. So all these bands and these stars of yesteryear are still around today. I wonder whether we can say the same 50 years from today. I wonder. So there was also another scene in Wales, which was like a Welsh rock scene. And there was bands, when I say Welsh rock scene, there was obviously a Welsh language rock scene, and that was fantastic as well. I have to say, amazing talents in Welsh language, amazing. But there was also bands around that got to quite high in the world of rock. There was a band called Sassafras, and I'm still a massive fan to this day. But the only trouble is, I've become friends with the members of Sassafras, and I've even done gigs with them, and I've been on stage with them. But I love Sassafras. I'm a huge fan. I mean, if ever you want to play some of their music, I would recommend for you to play a song called Wheeling and Dealing. Fantastic. They're just amazing. And Dyshell and Ralph Evans and Terry Bennett, they're still around, man. They're still doing stuff. They're still out there doing amazing music to this day. And but they are they're still on my playlist. So they were massive to me in like, I want to be in show business, I want to be like Sassafras. But of course, as you move on, and I started working in the clubs myself, and then the holiday camps, then I started working cruise ships, I realized that Welsh rock music ain't going to cut it on the Queen Elizabeth, a QE2 or something, So I then started to fall in love with somebody like Barry Manilow, and I realized that the audience loved his music. So Barry Manilow was massive in my life. And so forth, people of that ilk. And I'm still a Barry Manilow fan to this day, and I'm proud of it.
Well, my favourite band has to be ELO.
Well, I can tell you, ELO, I know very well. Mickey Kaminsky in the original ELO was the violin player.
Yes.
And Mickey Kaminsky's father, his name was Ken Kaminsky, and he was the manager of the Ivy Bush Hotel in Carmarthen.
Wow.
He owned a beautiful primrose yellow Daimler, and I used to clean, wash it, and polish it for him.
That's
Yeah.
so cool. Yeah.
And there's another guy called Neil Lockwood, who was part of the ELO Part Two. And Neil Lockwood is a dear friend of mine, and he lives in Whitchurch in Cardiff. And but he's big pals with all the boys from ELO, and of course the band The Move, which was before ELO.
Yeah.
But yeah, good
Yes.
taste, my man.
Thank you very much. Have there been any misconceptions about the industry that you've heard over the years then, as you got introduced into the industry?
Sometimes I feel, we do work very hard. We do work very hard in terms of travel. I remember only this year I got on a plane, flew to Vancouver. I had 24 hours to get my act together, my head together. And the very next night, I was entertaining an all-American crowd on a beautiful cruise ship heading for Alaska.
Wow.
But to get to that stage to do the 60 minutes, it was a big ordeal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But I don't think the audience, sh they shouldn't have to know how hard it is, or the hours we put in, and the training, and all the rest of it. Yes, I suppose there are people out there who think that it's easy. But you know what the hardest part is? When somebody says to me, and they have said it in the past, "Oh, it's all right for you. You've only got to get up there and do an hour's work. I've got to be doing 12-hour shifts." Da, 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 da. And I say, "Okay, forget about going on the stage. Could you handle getting up in the morning, knowing you're on stage that night, to entertain maybe 1,000 people in an audience? Could you handle waiting in the wings? And
Yeah.
it's the clock is ticking down, and then it comes to that 7:30 mark, and you get told, maybe this chap who told this to me, let's say his name was Brian Williams."
Yeah.
Sorry, any Brian Williams out. This is just I met here. How would that make you feel, isn't it? "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage for an hour of comedy and song. It's Brian Williams." Can you walk out, show that audience that you ain't scared and you're in charge, and this is how it's going to be now?
Yeah.
Because when Mr. Nerves knocks on the door, when Mr. Doubt knocks on the door, when Mr. Anxiety knocks on the door,
Yeah.
it's not a great place. I know great, great, great entertainers that will remain nameless have bottled it and just left, got on stage even and pretended to be ill. I mean, there's a famous story of Des O'Connor. We can mention that because it's documented. But it wasn't the old poor old Des. He was up in Glasgow, and he faked an illness, or he fainted,
Yeah,
but he didn't faint. So that's what I say to. In that scenario,
yes.
yeah.
So people may recognise your voice because you played Trevor in the Trade Centre Wales adverts. So
Yeah.
how did that opportunity arise?
Well, the story goes with the Trevor advert. Trevor was around before Trevor. Trevor was part of my act, and I had a character called Nigel. And Nigel used to say, "Well, I want to go to Tibet to find myself. I'm living with my mother in Swansea, and I gotta get out like and find myself. So I'm gonna go to Tibet to do a bit of yoga, eat Special K, and like find myself, right?" And then, that was Nigel. In the end, I didn't have to go to Tibet, like, because I was Nigel all along, So I'm living in a bedsit now, like down in Bumbles, and I'm happy, it's I do plenty of yoga, Special K, like in the morning. So I'm doing this routine in a corporate event, funny enough, in Swansea at the, gosh, what's the name of the hotel? Is it the Marriott? Is it? Yeah, the Marriott. This was 2006. I remember it well. There was a table of people there, employees and businessmen and stuff like that from a car company. And I took the Mickey as a bit of fun out of their commercials because they had, I could tell it was like an English actor playing an American.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I just thought that was so funny, you know. And I took the Mickey a little, and then the owner of the very famous car company, Trade Centre Wales, said to me afterwards, "Hey, taking the Mickey out of my commercials." He says, "You think you could do any better then?" And I went, "Yes, I can actually." I met with him the following Monday, so I had to have an interview, just like, you know, you were saying. The very next day, we started putting some ads together, and he quite liked the idea of the adverts being character-based, character-led. So I was throwing loads of different voices at him, and he said, "What was that voice you did in that joke about the bloke going to Tibet?" I said, "Oh, Nigel." He says, "Yeah, gotta have him." So, "Oh, I can't have him." I said, "He can't. We can't use him." He said, "Yeah, we'll change the name," and we come up with the name Trevor.
Yeah.
Well, Trevor became massive. Love him or hate him. And some people thought I was taking the Mickey out of Welsh people by doing, "Trevor of Trade Centre Wales, brilliant man," right? Well, I wasn't taking the Mickey out of Welsh people. This is a individual character. Just like you'd have, say, on the radio in Somerset, you'd have someone saying, "Here, get all your gardening tools and all your gardening needs down there at Fountain Gurney Garden Centre."
Yeah.
Well, nobody complained about that man. And you go to London and they had a, "Yeah, get all your nuts and bolts. Yeah, you gotta make do be, hey, what's your gun? Leave it out, do be, hey, what's the matter?" Hey? Nobody complained about that. Nobody complains up in Manchester when it's like, "Hey, it were great. I loved it. My mum and dad would take me to football every day." Nobody complained about that. But once in Wales, you go, "That's brilliant, man. Oh, you're brilliant."
Yeah.
So I don't know. All I can say is that I never once thought of using Trevor's voice to upset anybody or embarrass anybody, and it became a huge, huge advertising tool. And it ran for years and years, and I won two Akiva awards for doing it. And Akiva, as you know, is equivalent to BAFTA. So through doing our commercials, we went up to London and received two Akiva awards. So I'm
Well,
very, very proud of it.
congratulations for that. I didn't know that. That's brilliant. Do you tend to get anyone imitating Trevor to you still?
All the time, all the time. I was with my wife. We walked through Cardiff for the day. Went to see the rugby, you know, and all through Cardiff. "Hiya, Trev. Turn up, Trev," I said to you. "Hiya, Trev."
Wow.
So people sometimes call me Trev before they call me Mike.
It sticks in the memory, doesn't it? As soon as you
Yeah,
hear something out of the ordinary, you think, oh yeah,
yeah.
I didn't actually know it was you doing the Trevor voice until my uncle said, "No, that's Mike Doyle doing that." And I was like, "Is it?" And then I heard you on the advert, and I was like, "Oh, and it is." I was like, "He's just changing his voice." I was quite young at the time, and then we went to watch him in Panto. I was like, "Oh, this is brilliant. I love this." So, what's the process for doing an advert voiceover then? For people that don't know, give us an insight.
Well, it starts off with a meeting with, like, if we're talking Trade Centre, it's a meeting with nowadays the board of directors, see exactly what, you know, campaign they're going to go with. We don't do any character led campaigns anymore. But once the script has been finalized, it then gets sent off to be approved. Once that comes back with a stamp of approval, we go into the studio, which is in Neath. Which has been purpose built for me over there to do the adverts. Then I just have one other guy it's just a two man show, to be honest. It's Andy Griffiths from Port Talbot, and I. We go in there, and he directs me through sometimes line for line, which a lot of people don't realize that. It sounds as if I've waffled it all off. I haven't, because you need to get the right way to do the advert. So the intonation has to be right. You know, and once that's done, it goes off to, you know how this works, goes off to for editing, then goes off for approval with the chairman, the CEO, and the rest of the board of directors, and time slots are booked, and on it goes, and
Wow.
then all over the radio. And I sometimes get on people's nerves because I'm on the radio all the time, but I'm off at the moment, so There's a wonderful lady doing it instead of me at the moment, so gives me a rest from it.
Yes. As of recording, I've never been on one, but I know you have plenty of experience. What's the cruising life like?
Well, wow, have I seen that changed over the years? So my first cruise, I joined a ship called the SS Oriana in Sydney, Australia, on the 27th of August, 1982. I flew out. I've never been on a plane before. I fly out to Sydney, Australia, and go along to the ship, which was 42,000 tons. And I thought that was the biggest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. However, she did have an enormous bow. This thing was a great big long bow. She was a liner, really, more than a cruise ship. And so I became part of ship's company, and I was an entertainment officer. So I did that as crew. I was part of the officers and crew, and I loved it. I learned so much on there. I owe an awful lot to that job. I was part of all the shows because in those days that's how it was. It was all done in-house. I learned how to dance. I never thought about dancing before. As I told you, I've never been to any dance schools. I've never been to any theatre schools. So I was learning on the go, So I did that, and then came back to this country, and a few years go by, and I joined a ship called the Canberra, which is the famous Canberra, which went to the Falklands. And of course, I did that for a short time. And then a brand new ship called, funny enough, Oriana, again, was coming out. And I joined her in 1995, and I've been cruising ever since. So I've seen these ships get bigger and bigger and bigger. I've seen the theatres get bigger. The biggest theatre I think I played at sea was 1,800 seats, so the same size as the Millennium Centre in Cardiff
Wow,
on a ship.
that's a lot. They're
And you do
basically like massive hotels now, aren't they? They're huge.
they're huge with wonderful dining options, fine dining. Some of the famous chefs that we have from the UK and indeed all around the world have restaurants on these things now. Cunard is one of my favorites, if I'm so bold as to say that, but I do love my Cunard. I love the Queen Mary too. She's the only true liner left in the world, and she has two other ships, the Queen Elizabeth and the Queen Victoria, and due to come along next May is the Queen Anne, of which they've asked me to be part of the opening cruise for that, so I'm very, very proud of that.
Wow.
And the other cruise lines I love to work are Oceania and Regent Seven Seas Cruises, which are just fabulous 6-star lines. I get looked after very well, and I really do enjoy it. And all the cruise lines are great. They are Princess, P&O. P&O, I've got my heart with them because I was with them for years and years and years. I don't do so many anymore, and but I love the cruise life. You see a different port every day, unless you're doing the transatlantic voyage, which is 6 days at sea with a clock going back every day. And as I say, nowadays these ships, it's like a proper gig now. It's proper theaters with huge lighting rigs, and on Royal Caribbean they have an ice show and an aqua show. People diving 51 meters in the air into a great big pool, an aqua show, and the ice show is incredible.
That's
But
amazing.
it is amazing, and it's a great holiday for people, and
Definitely.
there's different versions of that holiday. Maybe some people they don't want all the water slides and the zip wires and the bumper cars and all that, and some people just want a really quiet ship where they can just it's all about the food and it's all about the relaxation and the itineraries, and sometimes maybe the entertainment comes second on some of these very posh ones, but I do enjoy it. I really do enjoy it. I don't do as many now as I used to. I used to do up to 42 cruises a year before the pandemic, and I've cut right back now because I have another job that I do.
Yes. You're also part of the Grand Order of Water Rats. So for people who don't know what that is, could you explain it to us?
The Water Rats. It's such a fantastic organization, a show business organization that dates back a very, I don't know the exactly that I should know, but I don't know. But to give you an idea, Laurel and Hardy were water rats. So look how far this goes back. I thought, wow, I'd love to be a water rat. How do you become a water rat? You know, it's not something you can just go along, knock on a door and say, oh, can I be a water rat? You know, but I did become a water rat. And a wonderful man by the name of Richard Gauntlett, who's a brilliant actor, a great comedian, and a great theatre director. He directs the Newport pantomime, funny enough. He proposed me, and I got somebody else to second me. And you go through an initiation, which I'm not allowed to tell you what happens, but I go to the lodge in London there, and I became a water rat. I don't attend, if I'm honest, as much of the lodges as I should. I think it's a case of the pandemic put a bit of stop to 2 years of that. And I live so far away and so busy. But yes, they do such great things, you know, for so many different charities. It's unbelievable how much money that they just give away to people, of all sorts of different charities. It is amazing. It's something I'm very, very proud to be associated with.
Yeah, like you mentioned, you have quite a few famous people. So the Wyn Calvin was part of it, and Lionel Blay, both great entertainers. Who's part of the charity now?
Crikey, people like Alfie Bowe,
Oh, wow.
Rick Wakeman, who you know, to me, he's one of the biggest stars in the world. You know, Rick, I can't believe Rick Wakeman's there, and the Hairy Bikers.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes, Joe Pasquale.
Love Joe. Joe's amazing. You have Steve Hewlett as well, don't you? You joined you in Panto
Oh,
last
Steve
year.
is. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Steve is a brilliant rat, a brilliant water rat, and my dear friend Jeff Stevenson, a brilliant London comic. You know, and Ian Richards, and there's a big gang of them there. It's something that when you get all these guys together in one room. Oh, it's just magic. The magic happens, you know. I'm quite shy natured, actually. I really am. I suffer from that shyness, and that's the only thing that the last time I was at the Water Rats, I kind of went into my shell a bit because you're surrounded by all these people who've done so many great things, and you know,
Yeah.
sometimes that can be a Welsh thing, can't it?
You also have a very successful show which returns every spring. We've got to mention it. It's called Rocking with Laughter. How many years have you been doing that for now?
Well, do you know what? We must have been doing this, crikey. We must be into our eighth or ninth year. But we are coming back to the new theatre on the 28th of March. And this time round, it's the all new Rocking with Laughter show. I've got a few surprises in there this year. So all the people that have come back year after year, I'm so grateful. I really, really am. I can't say how grateful I am. The support has been incredible because it's an expensive show to put on. You know, it's not a cheap thing to throw together. But so we've got loads of new material in there this year, and we've got a supporting act that are just rock legends. I'm not allowed to say who it is just yet, but it's a kind of watch this space. But oh my goodness me. They're going to be part of the first half, and they are just insanely talented in terms of rock and roll. Play anything from Deep Purple to Eric Clapton. You can play, you know, and the Beatles, anything. These guys are just going to be one of the best things you'll ever see, type of thing, you know. And I've been so lucky to have met them. They were on Cunard. We were on the same contract, and they were doing their show on there. And they just said to me, "What's this thing then, Rocking with Laughter?" You know, and as I told them, they said, "Oh, we see, we'd love to be part of something like that." I said, "That's your chance." So they've said yes. So it's going to be different than what we've done in the past, only better different. But it's still got my band, who are just insane, the brilliant band. Still have all my comedy, and I like to make them laugh. Hence, the show is called Rocking with Laughter. So, yeah, please come and support it. Those of you who are listening, on the 28th of March at the New Theatre Cardiff, love to see you there for an all new Rocking with Laughter show.
What was the inspiration behind it then? Where did it all start?
Oh, well, because I was touring anyway, just under my name, Mike Doyle, you know, and but as far as the music was concerned, it was a bit all over the place, you know, like I would just sing just all different songs, different genres, you know, and the show, it was Mike Doyle comedy, and but there was no structure in terms of music. And then we all sat around, me and the band, and we were talking about, you know, how the music used to be when we were kids and all that. And I said, well, I'm a 70s kid, you know, and we wrote down loads of stuff from the 70s. And my goodness, the back catalogue from Stevie Wonder to Slade to T-Rex, you know, to Susie Quattro to ELO, you know, to the Earth, Wind and Fire, Michael Jackson. I mean, it just goes on and on. I thought, hang on, this is, we wrote down pages and pages and pages of amazing music. So there was a show in Blackpool years ago called Rock with Laughter, and I rang up the management that run that, who I knew very, very well, and were part of the panto in Cardiff, as it happens in terms of producers. I said, look, I'm thinking of calling my show Rocking with Laughter. Do you have a problem with that? Is that okay? And they said, no, good, fantastic, with our blessing, good luck. So I got the blessing to call it that. So how long we'll go on with this format, I don't know, because I've got so much more to do before I hang up my boots.
Well, good songs, people love them. And if they get a chance to come into theatre and listen to the songs they love, I'm sure it would keep going for years. So people say singing sometimes helps to release their issues and insecurities. What do you enjoy when doing it?
As far as singing is concerned, it's been part of my life since primary school. And I realized when I was about 9 or 10 that I could actually sing. You know, I could sing in tune. And started singing as a choir boy in the Catholic Church in Carmarthen, St. Mary's Catholic, Roman Catholic Church. I went to school at St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church Primary School, started singing, moved on to secondary school. That guitar came into my life I told you about earlier, and I would sing in the St. David's Day concert, and then, you know, and it just went from there. So singing has been around forever, but you need something else. And but it's my family. I'm married to Marie, who's an amazing person who just manages the life admin of our life. I have two boys, and Tom lives in Cardiff, and Sam is here with us, obviously, and we have a dog who we adore. He's a cockapoo called Buddy, and we love him. Buddy Boo the cockapoo, we call him. And with all the other things I do in my life, golf has become very important to me, and I absolutely love it. I love just getting out there in the fresh air, and sometimes I like playing on my own. You know, just go off, walk the fairways, clear your mind. It's amazing how your brain resets when you're just left for 4 hours to think, you
Yes,
know.
definitely. How do you keep your voice nice and healthy then for each performance? Because you do a lot of performing and you do a lot of concerts. How do you keep it the way it should be?
Well, you've just got to pray that, you know, the lurgy doesn't come along, isn't it? Because then it's tough. Because if you get an infection, you've got an infection. But as far as just keeping it going, I do have exercises that I do. But a wonderful friend of mine, Stephanie Weber, who was part of the Rocking with Laughter show for years and will be coming back from time to time, she gave me an exercise. And I thought, my goodness me, why didn't I think of that? You know, when you got something in your throat and you end up going, well, I've been doing that for 40, 50 years. It's no good for you. Absolutely no good for you whatsoever. So she, in the wings at the new theatre when we were doing Peter Pan, she's going around making this weird noise. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm warming up. I said, but you're making a sound like a bumblebee. What's wrong with you? So she's going around the place making a sound like this. Vroom, vroom. Sounds weird, doesn't it? Vroom. But you're vibrating. It's already cleared my throat already. Hear the different sound?
That's madness.
My voice is there again because I made that sound. What that does, your vocal cords are there and you vibrate. anything that's clinging to your any phlegm, any gunk. You vibrate the vocal cords, and then you swallow, and it instantly helps. So, yes, I make a vibrating sound all the time, especially when I'm working. Even on
Yes.
stage, I'll turn my back from the audience and do a quick vzz.
It's madness how each performer has their own little quirk of how they
Yeah.
warm up, and I've never heard that before, but that is actually good.
And over the lockdowns, because we none of us were using our voices, we just weren't using our voices. So I went back to a dear friend of mine, Petrina Johnson, who's a vocal coach, singing teacher, and ex West End singer. Funny enough, she was in Copacabana, the Barry Manilow musical, and I had 12 lessons with her, and it brought my voice back, And our son Sam, he rehearses in his room every single night.
Wow.
Every single night.
Your son sound great. I know I've spoken to Tommy before, and he is really,
Ah,
really
Tommy, of
nice.
course, yeah.
He's because I'm a big lover of theatre, so to when I saw Tommy's bits, and I know he's attached GoPros to certain things, and I was just like, this is Tommy's
Yeah.
just great.
He's a super talented guy, actually, and his lighting design skills are second to none. I'm not just saying that because he's my son, but he really is. He's worked so hard, to get there, and he had a really tough time with COVID. He got COVID and was in the he was on a ventilator for about 6 7 weeks, and he nearly died, actually. Tom nearly died from the COVID, but he came back, bless him, and he's back to full strength now, and he's back in the pantomime with me this year as a technical assistant stage manager. So anything goes wrong, he's got to fix it.
Yeah, if anything goes wrong, just shout for Tommy.
Yeah,
So,
yeah. And this year the giant is 3D, so
oh, golly.
let's hope those cameras to keep working, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Well, 35 years of panto for you this year. How does that make you feel?
It's gone in an instant, if I'm honest. But it makes you feel old, because sometimes I'm the oldest guy in the panto now. Where when I started, I used to look up at people like Victor Spinetti, Geoffrey Holland. And now it's me, I'm the guy, But this year we got Leslie Joseph, and I think she might be gently older than I.
Yeah.
But it's a great feeling. You either love pantomime or you hate it, I think. There's no middle ground. The middle ground was a long slog, man. If you're just there, two shows a day. It's going to be hard for you. If you hate it, you'll go, oh, not doing this again, and we'll never see you again. But if you love it, which I do with all my heart, and of course I played the Silly Billies and Idle Jacks, the Simple Simons, the Buttons. I loved playing Buttons. And then, of course, as you get older, it's time to put the frock on and become a dame, and which I've now done. And I think I'm in frocks, as they call it now. It'll be 11 years in frocks, because my first going into frocks was the Swansea Grand as Ugly Sister with my dear friend Kevin Johns.
Yeah. Well, we'll touch upon that later because obviously being an ugly sister and being a dame has been a big part of your panto career. Do you remember when you first got into doing pantomime, how it came
Yeah,
about?
of course I do. Yeah, and first pantomime I think I ever saw was I always thought it was Morecambe and Wise, but my mum, because she took me, I think it was Ryan and Ronnie probably. So, and it was at the Swansea Grand, and it just blew me away. And it was the old stage of the Swansea Grand where they had the dancing waters. They had these huge tanks below the stage, and they used to shoot up all this water like they have in Dubai, these huge just dancing waters. And it was absolutely spectacular. And to see the carriage and the 8 or 10 Shetland ponies pulling on, they only ever use one or two now, and they pulling on Cinderella in the carriage with going through, behind the dancing waters. It with all the lighting effect, which would have been very primitive in those days, it was just incredible. And then my first panto, everybody thinks it was the New Theatre, but it actually wasn't. It was in Stockport at
Wow.
the Davenport Theatre, which is now Asda's. I was there with Peter O'Brien, who played Shane Ramsay from Neighbours, and Peter Piper, a great comedian, an actor, and a brilliant artist, actually, brilliant artist, and a lovely, lovely man. He looked after me in that pantomime, really took care of me. And that was my first pantomime, and I think that was 1989, 90. That's when that was, yeah. So that was my first one. And I didn't even play a comedy role. I played the squire, but I couldn't help injecting a bit of comedy into it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then the following year, I was in the New Theatre with Victor Spinetti, Geoffrey Holland. And of course, I'd done Opportunity Knocks then. So that gave me some good billing. So I kind of came into the major pantomimes at quite a level, really.
Well, you've made your mark in Cardiff now, and you've got a signature catchphrase in Panto.
How's it going? All right.
It's iconic. It always amazes me that all you have to do is say it once and everybody's on the same page, whether they haven't been to New Theatre before, whether they have, everyone's on the
Yeah.
same page. Where did it come from, that catchphrase?
I don't know. I mean, I noticed that wherever you are in the UK, we all go, all right. So, you know, up north, they're going, are you? You're all right. Are you? All right. In London, all right, mate. All right, mate. In the Midlands, all right. You're all right. In South Wales, all right. 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 And I just thought, that's got to be that then, hasn't it? So I come on with imaginary chewing gum and, how's it going? All right. Well, of course, the place just screams, all right, back to me.
It does. It does. Well, you've played Ugly Sister, as you mentioned, with Kev Johns before, but your first panto as Dane on your own was in Cardiff with Julian Cleary, and
Clary.
it was Jack and the Beanstalk as well, like this year,
Last
wasn't
time
it?
we did Jack and the Beanstalk, yeah.
Yes. So, how did that come about, getting into frocks on your own?
Yeah, well, of course, I did the Ugly Sister, and then I was offered Cardiff, and it was my first damehood. Yeah, I was nervous with that, I got to be honest with you. And of course, Julian being so flamboyant, I thought, how can I compare with him? You know, because he's so. And
Yeah.
I just thought, gosh, how do you play Dame next to Julian Clary? But he's just a masterclass. I mean, he's a brilliant guy, and a really nice man, actually.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
He's
one
at
of
the
the nicest.
Palladium now, isn't he?
He's one of the nicest, and he's genuine, he's real, doesn't gossip, you know, he hasn't got any of that, doesn't put up with any of that either. He's just a really solid, super nice guy, and I think a lot of Julian, and yeah, I think a lot of him. But it was great. It was great. And you know, as each year at Cardiff, I just got stronger and stronger. And there was another time I played Ugly Sister with Sam Kane, because Linda Lusardi, we did that together. Oh, we were naughty in that. Yeah, and we, Sam Kane and I, because we're old mates, Sam and I, we've done the cruise ships for years together. And he's a great director, a very good director and a very good actor. And he and I playing Ugly Sisters, I can't begin to tell you how naughty we were. But I think, I mean, you know, we every time we left the stage, we'd point at people and just go, Minga. Oh my God. And
Gosh.
people wanted us to call them mingers. It was just insane, you know. And I'd have letters going, oh, we're in seats B142 or we're in box C. Will you please call us mingers? Will you call my mother a minger? She's asking, you know.
That's
Oh,
brilliant. That really
yeah.
is brilliant. I
Yeah.
guess everyone involved as well. How do you play your Dame then? What's your style of doing it?
I become my mother.
Simple enough.
I become my mother. I don't base it on anybody. I don't copy anybody. And I think, you know, kids aren't stupid, are they? They've got to believe you. They've got to believe, you know. I mean, I'm old school pantomime now, aren't I? And, you know, there's certain things when I see them in scripts, I think, no, I hate it when they say, oh, I was in my dressing room.
Yeah.
Well, what's a dressing room? You're in the middle of Cloudland or something. And, you know, no, I
This.
think it should be kept real. And I always remember. When I first started doing Panthers with E&B Productions, you know, Paul Elliott. And Paul Elliott told me that. He said, don't ever let anybody ever tell you it's only Panto. It's just Panto. He says, no, he says, this is, and people say, oh, it's not Shakespeare, is it? Well, he said, of course it is. Of course it is. It's got to be. He said, you know, people out there have to believe that you're in love with Cinderella. People have to believe that the baddie is going to harm you. They have to believe this. Otherwise, it's just a load of nonsense, a load of farce, amateur stuff.
Yeah.
It has to be real. And if you can make that magic happen within that magic space, he says, you know, we're on a winning streak. I mean, that's how shows, you know, in the West End, isn't it? They go on and on and on because you buy into it. I'm a bit old school like that, you know.
How long does it take to get the makeup on then for the dame each year?
Oh, I've got it down pat now. I'm all sorted. Makeup's on in 15 minutes. It's off in 5. Seriously, I used to take me forever and I used to get people help me and everything. But no, but my wife had a great idea, actually. She filmed me doing it one year and we've kept it on file, you know. So So before I put the makeup on, I wanted to look at the go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, and she gets all the stuff for me anyway, gets all the makeup and all the products and the moisturizers and the removal stuff. She does all that. So
Is it hard to be a comedian and play Dame at the same time?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think Dame covers all aspects. I think Dame, you're somebody's mum, so you love your son, you discipline your son. The comedy comes from maybe a pathos side of things, you know. I used to love telling the guy, oh, I've had lots of husbands. My first husband, Gavin, he died. Oh, I know. He died. He overdosed on a box of indigestion tablets. It hasn't been the same since Gavin's gone. So,
brilliant one, you know, that.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. My other husband, he died, yeah. I bought a trampoline bed when he found out he hit the roof. So I love all those, you know, this, oh, this happened and you won't believe this. My other husband fell into a vat of coffee. Yes, he died. Well, at least it was instant. But they're just silly little. And then I like to play with the boxes, you know, to make out that they're, you know, from Penarth or somewhere like that. Or,
oh, of course, yeah.
You know, come down from Cowbridge to watch the pantomime. Yes, thank you so much. And that gets good fun. But then it's also the faces you pull, never upstage, always be in your right position, and to allow others to shine alongside and, you know, and have fun on stage. And generally, 99.9% of the time, we do.
Yes, definitely. Well, that's what Panto is. It has to be fun, it has to be good, and you have to know what you're doing. And yeah, it's so special, Panto. It's really important.
It's hard work. It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's 2 shows a day, every day, and the rehearsal process is full on. And you've got to have patience. You've got to, who gets it in the neck, of course, is my poor wife when I come home.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got no one to vent to, you know, if certain script just won't go in, it's, you know, I learn my lines in the kitchen with her and she has to play all the other characters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've also played Ugly Sister with Kerry Dupree. Do you prefer being the Ugly Sister, the Dame, or the Comic?
Dame. I love Dame, but Ugly Sister every now and again just gives you a bit of a light relief.
Yeah.
Because it's nice then to be funny, nasty. So that's great fun. Like, you know, it's fun to be booed for a change. And but yeah, Kerry and I, that was a very interesting partnership, you know, because we... He does fantastic Shirley Bassey impression,
yeah.
And I do a Shirley Bassey impression. So we said, well, let's both do it then. So we both together did a song between us as two Shirleys. It was hilarious.
That's perfect. When the producers get you to do stuff like that, it's just like it's just a match made in heaven. Really, you have two Welshmen playing the Ugly Sisters, and you just bounced off each other. It was such a great cast in that with Gokwan as well.
It's fantastic. And Kerry was, you know, he's a real pro. You know, he's very solid. He's a great, great, great performer.
Yeah. So many good people that you've worked with. What was David Hasselhoff like?
Well, David Hasselhoff was David Hasselhoff. He was the Hoff.
Yeah.
He's the Hoff, man. It's just, you know, but a great guy, a great team player. Great fun on stage, you know. We what routine did we do that year that We do a tongue twister nearly every year, don't we?
Yeah.
And this year's going to be insane. I'll tell you that now. Insane.
Oh,
It's going to
Lord.
be two little snakes hissing in a pit. That's all I'm going to
Oh,
tell you.
dear. Yeah.
So poisonous pythons hissing in a pit. We did one with, I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker son. We did with David. And I'm not a pheasant plucker. I'm a pheasant plucker's son. Ha ha. So, and we were always going,
Yeah,
but he knew what he was doing, and got to give it to him. You know, massive star,
yes.
massive star. And for him in Panto to do that with him in Cardiff, people loved him. He was great. He was
Definitely.
always in my dressing room though, nicking biscuits and do you have any honey there? I need some honey. I'm sending somebody out to the shops.
You can't moan, can you? It's the Hof. It's like the Hof has just been in my dressing room nicking biscuits, and people will be like, "Nah, shut up, you're
Oh
on
yeah, and
toast."
chocolates and milk and tea bags and coffee. Do you have any old Christmas cards that maybe I could sign a few for? So I gave him a Christmas card, and just for him to sign to give to somebody, and he gave it back to me. Dear Mike, happy Christmas for you and your family. And I gave him the card.
That's
So
brilliant. That really is
great
good.
guy.
Do you have a favourite part of a panto or its run?
The favorite part of pantomime, it has to be once you've learnt that script, once the rehearsal process is all over and done with, you feel comfortable in your role and you just get out there and do it. Every show is different because the audience are different. It's the first time they're seeing it. So you have to give your 110% every single performance. And for me, it's once that character is in your head, you're all comfortable with each other, it's just doing it. I just love doing it
Yeah.
from beginning to end.
What's it like to work with the UK's largest panto producer then?
I'm very lucky, aren't I? I'm very lucky. I have been working with people involved with earlier production companies like E&B, which was Paul Elliott and Nick Thomas and John Conway, just fantastic people, great, great show business people. I loved being part of that. As the company just grew and then morphed into another company, Kudos, a massive, massive company. And now, of course, it's Crossroads, which they are the biggest in the country, aren't they?
They are, and they
So
do really
yes,
good productions. I love their
they
productions.
do. But I've also worked with Owen Money. He had a and still does have a great company, and I've done four pantomimes with Owen and equally enjoyed that. Okay, the budget wasn't the same, but the heart was. The production was great. Brilliant direction under a great director and friend of mine called Richard Tunley, who does some amazing work, still does. He's out there now on tour. Sherlock Holmes, I think, right now. Amazing. So yes, if it's done right and it's a good heart behind it, and you've got a cast and crew and production company who all want the same goal, it's the best place on earth because we don't have the luxury of having, say, like a 5 week rehearsal period.
Yeah.
It's done very quickly. The costume department, it's just insane. Sometimes you go for your costume fitting, and when it comes, they send you the costumes, and it's all right, this doesn't fit. And there's somebody there like Dan, who is our wardrobe master, and Martin used to be there before, to be right, just put this in there, two zips there, Velcro there, two buttons, two poppers, da 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 da, next. And it all gets done so quickly.
Wow.
You're very well looked after, but you have to give your 110% back.
Definitely.
Nothing worse than somebody dragging their heels or don't want to be there. You've got to want it.
Well, it's lovely when things go right, but have there been any memorable mishaps on stage?
Course, of course. Yeah, I mean, there's been times when somebody might have missed their entrance and you're left standing there,
Yeah.
but I can handle it now because I can cover it. But back in the day when it happened to me once, I'm okay. I'll give you a story where it was my second pantomime ever, and I'm in the wings there at Cardiff New Theatre. It was Aladdin, and I know Geoffrey Holland won't mind me saying this, but he said to me, "Now listen, young man, You mustn't talk in the wings because you'll miss your call. You'll miss, you'll miss, you'll be off, you'll be off. And I said, all right, I'm sorry. Yes, I said, nothing worse than talking in the wings because you'll miss your cue, you see. I said, yeah, okay, like you have now then. Oh, my goodness. So by telling me to stop talking, he missed his own cue.
I know they tend to plan the next show whilst the current one is running. So when do you find out about what the next title is and who you're working with?
Well, I never take anything for granted. So I never expect to be back every year. I always worry because I do want to come back.
People want you back as well.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I can only hope that. I'm very grateful. But usually, we'll know, you know, after Christmas. There's a bit of stirring in the office upstairs.
So this year, of course, you're starring in Jack and the Beanstalk. Lovely bit of Welsh spelling with the name Jack as well. What role are you playing this time?
Dame Trot.
Of course.
Dame Trot, mother to Jack Trot and his brother, Silly Simon. So I got two sons this year. The story of Jack and the Beanstalk is lovely, isn't it? You know, it's good and evil as always. You know, we're poor, of course, and we have a cow. That's all we have is a cow because we have to sell the cow. Silly Simon comes back. Yeah, I've sold the cow, ma'am. Yeah. Look, I got these lovely beans. What?
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. So we're going to have a huge beanstalk, no doubt, and a very, very high-tech giant this year. So I can mention that because it's on the poster. So
it is.
Yeah, so it's going to be great, man. It's going to be great. And Leslie Joseph, wow. I mean, what a hard-working pro she is, you know?
Yeah.
And is she still in sister act? And she's just coming off that now, isn't she? Getting ready for the panto.
She's in Cardiff, so, and then she's come in to do panto. Yeah. It'd be nice.
What a hardworking lady she is.
She's great. She really is.
Yeah, but she's a great pro, and I'm looking forward to working with Leslie very much. My son Tom actually has worked with her. He did the tour of Birds of a Feather with her. So.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, so he knows her more than me.
Yeah. So you mentioned Leslie there. Who else are you performing with?
We've got the lovely Denkwa Chupak is coming back. She's delightful, great talent, a great jazz singer, actually, outside of the panto. I mean, she's got some great stuff. Have a look on YouTube and on Apple Music. She's got some really cool, smooth jazz songs that she's written and she plays on. She's a great musician.
Yeah.
She's incredible, you know. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to working with Aaron James, a very funny man. A very, very funny man, and looking forward to working with him very much indeed. And I think we got a solid cast, and of course the band is amazing. We got such a great live band.
Yeah,
it's some panthers now don't have a band, you know, and we've got a great band under the direction of dear friend, worked with Michael for years, even with my own shows, Michael Morwood. A great, great band. And Paul Shepherd on drums is the best in the business. He really is. And I've known Paul for 100 years. He used to play for an artist called Vince Hill. It was before your time, but and Tony Christie and people like that. So all these guys in the band, they're all proper pros, you know, top guys. So, yeah, it's a fantastic, absolutely. It's going to be strong this year. It's going to be a blooming good one. Everywhere we say that, don't we? But I've got a really, really good feeling about Jack and the Beanstalk this year. I really have. So get your tickets. Don't leave it too late.
What makes a Cardiff Panto then?
What makes the Cardiff Pantomime is a cast that really, really love the roles in which they're in and that audience connecting with us. Plus, it's in one of the most beautiful theatres we have in the UK. I mean, she's over 100 years old. She creaks and groans in certain parts. That adds to the character. It was the home of the Welsh National Opera for years. Yeah, it's just an iconic building run by great people that just love and want to be there. Stefan and his team are fantastic. Stage door is amazing. The dressing rooms are not the Ritz, but then when you just think, gosh, the people over that 110 years or whatever have used these dressing rooms. Incredible,
yeah.
Eh?
Yeah, but definitely.
Yeah.
Do you memorise the lines or do you learn most of them and then go with the flow when you get to rehearsals?
I learn on my feet and I learn when I'm with people. Yeah. I'm not very good at learning on my own. I do suffer from dyslexia and that can just freak me out sometimes when it's just me and a book with loads of words. But when I'm with people, and I hear their rhythm and their tone, I learn quicker. But please don't be fooled that pantomime people say, oh, they just make it up as they go along. That's a load of nonsense. It is finely tuned, and where there is room to ad lib, there's only certain people can ad lib, and that'll be the dame and the comic. So the silly bit, the silly Simon and me. But the rest is kept very, very brilliantly, cleverly timed.
Yes. Do you ever get time to watch other pantomimes during the run then?
Oh, no. No, I say every year I'll pop up to Swansea or I'll go to the London Palladium or up to Birmingham, you know. But I just the one day off, man, you know. And I do other things now as well, you know, outside of my showbiz. I'm part of a sponsorship program that looks after 400 grassroots sports within the UK. It is funded by the Trade Centre Group. There's hundreds of thousands of pounds gets put into this to enable me to look after children's rugby teams, football teams, netball teams, cricket teams, hockey teams, ice hockey teams, all over the UK. And because the Trade Centre is now throughout the Midlands, the Northwest, and all over Yorkshire. So it's a great, great initiative. And I love being part of it. And just to see the giving back from a big company like Trade Centre, giving back to kids that might not be able, their parents might not be able to fund the brand new kit, you know, and everything else that goes along with that. And we make mini documentaries. We've got Gareth Thomas, Alfie, he's part of it with me now. And we make small, mini documentaries on some of the teams. And it's all out there on the net to have a look at what we do. And Gareth has a wealth of experience with his captaincy with Wales and the British Lions. And he does master classes, training programs. And we have fun ones as well. We have, you know, so that is a big part of my life now, alongside my show business life.
Yes. Well, a listener sent in a question. Who has been the most fun person to work with?
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a question. That's because I could just say so many people. Sam Kane, it's Sam Kane is just jumping in my ear now. Sam Kane is just jumping in my ear because we don't even have to say anything. He knows what I'm thinking. I know what he's thinking. Oh my goodness. We've laughed when we shouldn't have, but able to bring ourselves back as well. Yes, I think I'd have to say Sam Kane, I think, in
Well,
terms of out and out, pure, just fun, you know.
any advice to those wanting to get into the industry as a singer, comedian, or a panto performer?
Well, the comedy answer is don't do it, but you know, it's a hard road, isn't it? It's a hard road. But my advice, it might be the wrong advice, but it's all I know, is do everything. Do everything. Play everything, you know. Learn accents. Learn to speak in any accent if you can. But that would be my advice, is to not shy away from anything. Try everything. Do everything. The more experience you can get, the better. You know, there's some people, you know, they'd say, like, you know, they've gone into singing and they seem to have, you know, they've got a great voice, and they might want to go down the classical singing route. Well, that is specialized and fantastic. Yes, 100%, if that's, you know, your goal. But if you're somebody who wants to get into show business and you want to get into panto and you know, television, and you know, my advice would be to do and try everything. You know, you might be good at voiceovers. You know, why not do voiceovers alongside doing panto? Why not, you know, do like a stand-up routine in a comedy club? Why not try as many different things? That's me. There'd be people screaming, no, but I don't know. That's how I've done it, and still am. They'll find me out one day, and they'll want all the money back. So.
Well, Mike, thank you for coming onto the show and the Panto special. So, best of luck with the 2023 season, and hopefully, you can join us again soon. So, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you to all the listeners as well. Thank you very, very much. All right.
Bradder's No Nonsense Hits.